How do we explain Tim Minchin? A musician, a satirist, comedian, frustrated rocker, an accomplished composer, an outspoken skeptic, a man who loves both children and expletives. Think a cussing Sir Noel Coward, or Tom Lehrer with eyeliner and an Australian accent. In 2005, Tim Minchin won Best Newcomer at the prestigious Edinburgh Fringe Festival and became one of the most successful ever debut acts there. And in just a few years, he's gone from playing small clubs to selling out the Sydney Opera House and the largest arenas in Great Britain. And now, Tim Minchin is coming to the United States. He joins us in Studio 4A.
Yeah. This is a beautiful studio, and this is a beautiful piano. Yeah.
How'd you get to this point?
Train. I started writing songs for youth theatre and stuff, and so it's really writing music for the stage that started me out. But then I eventually went to music college and did a 2-year course in contemporary music, and then just played in endless bands, cover bands, jazz bands. I played in piano bars. I played piano for cabaret stars and stuff, and then eventually moved from my hometown of Perth in Western Australia to Melbourne. And somewhere in there, I decided to book myself a room and do a cabaret show of my own material.
What got you hooked into music, though?
I blame my brother because I did up to grade 2 sort of that sort of level of piano when I was a kid and quit at about 11. And I think I probably would have stayed quit except my brother played guitar and he was much more a music fan than I ever was or ever have been. And he always sat there working out the songs and eventually got hooked on the Doors and he wanted someone to play, you know.
Yes.
Well, I can't play it. That intro to Light My Fire, and he was like, can you work that out? And I had already sort of started fiddling around and working things out by ear. And it was because of him that I've developed the style, which a lot of people play with in the modern thing, which is really the whole thing's, everything's built on chords. So I learned piano a bit more the way a guitarist learns guitar. And so we played in bands together until he sort of got distracted by real life. And I'd always been a, you know, angsty teenage poet and all that sort of thing. But I found when writing lyrics, I couldn't write like Dylan or any of the rock stars. I couldn't write this sparse, non-didactic, open to interpretation sort of stuff that you hear most of the time, nor was I particularly fond of writing the sort of cliche, you know, I love you.
Dove, so on the one hand, love. There wasn't the you never turned around to see the frowns.
Yeah,
the
that's jugger. Right.
And there wasn't the.
It June was neither abstract expressionism nor tapestries of ducks. It was, I'm very didactic in my lyrics, but I've always been drawn to mock my own emotions. And so I write this really lyric heavy stuff, which suits theatre and comedy much more than it suits pop, which is why I'm here.
It's not delay and give people an idea of what we're talking about. Could you do a song, Rock and Roll Nerd?
Yeah, this is, I've been opening shows with this song for a long time. It's disappeared and returned.
He doesn't have a problem with drugs. He just doesn't get them. He's fine that his mates have tattoos, but he thinks they'll regret them. He likes going to bars, but he hates it when the music's too loud. He tends not to go to rock concerts because he can't stand the crowds. But all he's ever wanted to be is a rock star on MTV. But he knows that it's not very likely. He's in his 30s. He knows that he will always be a rock and roll nerd. He'll keep playing gigs that no one knows about. And though it sounds absurd, he'll just keep playing. Oh yeah, hell. But you see, the problem is there's not much depth in what he's singing. He's a victim of his happy middle class upbringing. So he can't write about the hood or bling bling. He has nothing interesting to say. So he writes about himself. But he doesn't want to seem self-obsessed, so he writes in third person, in an attempt to seem more rock and roll, but he suspects it's not working. Deep in his heart, he knows he
will never be Bono or Bowie. And even if he was quite pretty, with small pants like Britney, he knows that he will always be a rock and roll guy. He'll keep writing songs the world will never hear. And though they won't be, though they won't be heard, he'll just keep writing. Oh yeah, you might not like him, but he won't care, 'cause he wants to rock. Will never be deterred, but he'll always be a screwed up little try hard wannabe rock and roll
nerd. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
That was very moving.
Good.
I think you bared a soul.
Thanks. It's one of my spare souls, luckily. The guy in the songs, obviously, pretty much me. If anything, I exaggerate my rock star ambitions because, as I sort of mentioned, I did come up through theatre and stuff, and I was always doing lots of different things. I eventually figured out how to conflate all my interests of acting and composing and writing and comedy and playing the piano and singing. The only fiction in Rock and Roll Nerd is kind of the idea of a kid who always wanted to be a rock star. In fact, it never crossed my mind that I was allowed to even be a musician for a living until I'd already written a whole lot of scores. I'm the son of a surgeon and the grandson of a surgeon. I didn't really sort of, it wasn't on my radar until almost after the fact. I kind of looked behind me and went, oh, I've been a musician for a while. I guess this is what I'm doing.
Are there places even you won't go? Do you find yourself drawing back? I mean, I assume anybody who buys a ticket to come see Tim Minchin knows what they're in for. And I can't imagine that they would find anything objectionable, but
I don't think I get many walkouts anymore because, as you say, as my reputation's grown, people know who I am. I got more walkouts early on in my career when I just appeared to be this sort of piano playing, as you said, maybe Noel Coward or some modern version of Lyra. But I don't believe that we need to worry too much about censoring anybody's comedy. Having said that, I'm not particularly interested in the comedy of shock for shock's sake. Mm-hmm. I've done a bit of it in the past and decided I want to pull back from that and make sure that I always have the ability to at least after the fact converse intelligently about intent in the hope that my intent is not just to make people gasp. But your question was whether there's anything I won't touch, and I don't think there's any subject that I won't touch because it's a taboo subject. If you look at my stuff, it tends to be about philosophical gripes and human psychology and stuff about belief and the way we see the world and about ethics. My show is really actually a show about ethics, ironically. I don't want to ruin anyone's experience of it, but that's what I think it is.
Now, Mr. Minchin, you're not going to pack him in if you say
this is a show about ethics. But this is NPR, right? I'm talking to my audience.
Of course, right.
I wouldn't be saying this if I was on Fox.
Ethics and responsible diet.
Yeah, that's right. But if you get offended by my song about the Pope, for example, which is not playable on air but is very, very carefully constructed, I'm fine with that and I can argue it and I can take the anger. But if you got cross with me about one of my earlier songs that I did, for example, called Fat Children, eventually I went, yeah, actually you guys are right. It's just bullying. So I'm not scared of taboos. I am, however, preoccupied with intent. And so if I'm going to talk about a taboo subject, I'm going to try and say something interesting about it.
Is there a song you could take us out on? I wonder if we can get you to do White Wine in the Sun.
Sure. This is one of the songs I play generally as an encore to atone for the sins of the show you've just watched.
I'm looking forward to Christmas. It's sentimental, I know, but I just really like it. I am hardly religious. I'd rather break bread with Dawkins than Desmond Tutu to B.
be honest. And yes, I have all of the usual objections to consumerism, to the commercialization of an ancient religion, to the westernization of a dead Palestinian press ganged into selling PlayStations and beer. But I still really like it. Really like Christmas.
You can hear Tim Minchin singing Rock and Roll Nerd and this entire song, White Wine in the Sun, on our website, npr.org. Trust me, you want to hear this song in full, White Wine in the Sun. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
My brother and sisters, my gran and my mom, they'll be drinking white wine in the sun.